We were talking about acalabrutinib before as it relates to mantle cell. What about in CLL? What are the data that are out there? We talked a little bit about the toxicity profile, but what do we know about acalabrutinib in CLL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in CLL, acalabrutinib, you know, very similar, at least in terms of safety and efficacy, it seems to mirror what we see with ibrutinib. I don't see anything distinguishing between the two in terms of efficacy. When it comes to tolerability, again, I do think acalabrutinib has a slightly more favorable toxicity profile with less arthralgias and less of this sort of asthenia that you can see, maybe less bleeding and a little bit less of atrial fibrillation. So, you know, again, the main downside to acalabrutinib is that it's a twice-a-day drug, and some people will balk at that, but it otherwise seems to be much better tolerated. There's studies combining acalabrutinib with obinutuzumab, which I think are very interesting. There's this, I think, you know, maybe theoretical, maybe real interaction between ibrutinib and rituximab, where you remember ibrutinib hits several different kinases, including ITK. And some have proposed that this ITK inhibition antagonizes how rituximab and ibrutinib work together. Acalabrutinib does not hit ITK, and therefore may be a better drug to combine with something like obinutuzumab, which is glycoengineered, and there may be some synergy there. Now, I don't know if this is theoretical versus real, but certainly acalabrutinib and obinutuzumab were presented at ASCO this year in combination in a small study and seem to be very, very active.
Of course, both of those drugs are active, but
yeah.
I'm guessing there's some kind of phase 3 trial looking at that combination.
That's correct. Right. There will be a phase 3 trial, you know, essentially paralleling what like the CLL14 trial was.
So is that up and running or not yet?
I don't know just yet.
Interesting. Yeah.